Get ready for the O'Shelly effect.
Well, it is a Friar's Day, and it is the fourth day of August 2017. Allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, this is indeed the O'Shelly Effect, broadcast live from the facilities of O'Shelly.com, but carried on various other networks. And we do appreciate you, whether it is in replay form or live. Of course, there's a live chat room at O'Shelly.com, and if you're hearing this on your TuneIn application, your Fondle Slab of choice, whatever that may be, and you wish to join in the discussion, that is where you would go, at the Listen Live area on O'Shelly.com, and Chatango is accessible to most people. You can go in there as an anonymous if you wish. All right. Anyway, it is one of these days that we're going to do something, you know, the old Monty Python, and now for something completely different. Well, this is completely different for some people. I'm extremely used to the type of discussion that I can imagine we're going to have this evening, because with me is an individual that goes by the name The Greek. And we used to do a show together called O'Shelly and The Greek, oddly enough. Coincidentally, I guess, have no idea why my name was first on that anyway. Really, I was a secondary individual there and merely in place to keep the format sort of consistent, I think. Really, it was the Greek show, and he's been out there various sonic entities in the past few years, and a lot of people have known him from earlier ones, and I'm already tripping over my tongue, so let's not get too deep into it. First of all, how you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, Chuck, we're back. Small micro reload of O'Shelly and the Greek. Nothing to be afraid of, people.
Well, listen, even if you're afraid, it's not going to change what's coming. So.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. This is still planet Earth, right? So I think part of, let's just say the entire concept that Greek speak or the Greek brings forward is to objectively assess what's going on this planet. Yes, you heard me. Not America, Iraq, Russia, Colombia, Paraguay, or anything else, but the planet at large. And you will find that most people tuning into what I call the stupid rectangle, computer, tend to go for, you know, especially this type of genre, the news. And you notice how the news is about change, and people have to keep abreast of what's going on in the news. It's new stuff, supposedly, and because they feel it affects their lives one way or another, or how they think, right? But how about the news on things that don't change? Ever think about that? Right? You might get into trouble, but yeah.
So. Yeah, you got to be careful with thinking, because it is obviously a dangerous pastime nowadays. And it seems to me as though, even though allegedly these things change, the news doesn't really change anyway. It's like a regurgitation of itself continuously. It's almost like watching an animal repeatedly vomit up the very same substance, and that's what I find in both alternative and mainstream news, that it is literally like watching a dog kind of eat something and realize it's bad for him, then eat some grass, throw it up, and then continue to consume the very same thing that it already vomited up. And Greek dogs do this, don't they, sometimes?
Well, sure. There's a lot of references in ancient writs about, let's say, comparable analogies of people to certain animals. You have the dogs, the pigs, the goats, the sheep, right? And which, by the way, is not – none of that's done accurately, because the sheep are the most benevolent, or are held up highest in hierarchy, and they're actually being used – in the wrong way. But just to, you know, you said like alternative or mainstream, right? You know, this mm-hmm. whole thing about fake news, I've been talking about that for over 20 years, that it's all fake. But, you know, the mainstream is the fake news, the greater, and the alternative is the fake news, the lesser. It's all fake news, people. And why? Because you see the alternative latches on to one thing and another that's put out by, you guessed it, the mainstream. But it's not just the fake news. You have, fake medicine, a fake legal system, fake religion, you know, fake teeth, fake breasts, fake hair, fake. I mean, you want to go down what's not fake in this society? What does that mean? You know, someone might want to pick up etymologically what that means. But I would just say, one of the things, Chuck, you've noticed from Greek speak is that why not talk about things that what things are based on, let's just say, or things versus things that are baseless, right? You know, like look at the money system. If you start, you know, everyone uses it, whatever. But if you look at what it's based on, what is it based on? Pretty much nothing, right? If you look at the money, if you look at the medical system, what is it? Medical fiction, right? What, blood pressure, your body absorbs things, viruses. Those are all fictions, by the way. And yes, if you're surprised to hear that, that's, well, surprise, surprise, it's your birthday. But anyway, so I would say it's all fake. It's all fake, meaning you are living here. Here's the thing. You know, let's just bounce around. It's been a while since we've spoken, since I've spoke, really. I promised a Sonic project shortly after the last solo endeavor I did, and it hasn't appeared yet. Why? Because I'm just sitting back contemplating. And also, I've seen that a lot of the stuff that's been put out has not been chewed on too much, and I'm not getting a lot of feedback that really suggests that there should be any forward movement, but there will be. Maybe this little Sonic event, you and I together, will give people a little glimpse of what's to come and maybe give some spoilers. But my point here is this, Chuck. One way to approach anything or anyone is by order of importance, right? Like if you go to a government or a corporation, you know the situation is different when you're speaking to, let's say, the guy up top or the guy at the bottom, you know? You know, well, things look, change.
Everything that is approached that ends up having an order to it, because obviously multitasking only goes just so far. You wind up having to prioritize one way or another, whether it's utilizing the idea of access or ability to access something, or exactly what is immediately, well, problematic, et cetera, there's always a priority. And there's always, I always call it the batting order because, well, I enjoyed playing baseball when I was a kid. And this was a fairly easy way to, well, you know, make analogies about life, actually. You think about the batting order. It's designed in a specific way to accomplish a goal. And you can say that the approach to nearly anything that requires some organization has a batting order, yes?
Well, sure. And also, you want to keep going up the ladder because things get a little more critical when you go up the ladder. In other words, they're more pertinent to the real world. And by the way, I just want to throw this in for you folks out there. You ever hear about people saying, well, you better do a reality check, right? You know, on this. Well, wait a second. You're living your life not in reality? So you have to do a reality check? Shouldn't you always be? Anyway, that's just a pun on, you know, how about the American dream? You know, you can only be dreaming when you're sleeping. Usually that's what it implies, right?
Yeah.
Someone said, I had a dream.
Yeah. And where do you cash a reality check anyway? I've never seen a bank that takes them.
Oh, that's right. You know, there's an old thing about the some Czechoslovakian hunters, you know. They went out hunting. They got separated, and one of them got eaten by a female bear because he went too close to the cubs. There was a family of bears, and he went too close to the cubs. But the father bear ate the hunter, and he runs back and gets some other hunters to come and shoot the bear. And they're all aiming at the mother bear, and he's like, no, the check is in the mail. Anyway.
Here's
another one. You know, the other day I was at the bookstore, you know, and they had this section about JFK books, you know, JFK conspiracy books. And the person says, you know, these books are all 50% off, right? And I looked at them and I said, oh, they're a lot more off than 50%. But anyway.
Which you are absolutely accurate about. The most amazing part about that little joke there is that you actually know where a bookstore is. And I'm not speaking to your ability to find one. I'm speaking for
anyone's ability to find one.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
they Yeah, but they're diversifying. They're bringing back vinyl and things like that. You know, plastics. You know, everyone likes things. What do you mean? You're going to eat that? It wasn't wrapped in plastic. What's wrong with you? But anyway, So the thing is about jumping around, and I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, you've got to make an assessment. You know, let's say we had free access to space travel, and I told you, Chuck, I gave you a short list. We're going to go through the galaxy, and there's this planet here with 7.5 billion inhabitants. They're all typically moronic, and that's a pretty good and idiotic. It's a pretty good assessment. Now, if we go down there, don't be surprised. Right. And we go down there. Would you be surprised if you realized that pretty much everyone you ran into was an idiot or a moron? No, because I just warned you as such. You know, you might run into someone that's semi-rational. Right. But that should be this. That, you know, you already got the rule. We're not looking for the exceptions when we're just planet bouncing. Right. So,
this is an interesting thing, too, Greg. I love when you do this because. It's really funny. I mean, I object to some of the stuff you say on occasion, but this is such a perfect way to look at it. And you could even take this down. You say, okay, the Greek is talking about space travel and coming to Earth and oh, blah, blah, blah. All right. How about this? I'll make it a little more relatable. And you and I have both been in similar atmospheres when it comes to, well, you know, certain social situations. There's a reason why you understand the Northeastern thought process and style of socialization, let's say. Yeah. Now, you know you've been warned before you go to a place. Look, everybody who's here is this.
Right. And it like applies pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody who's here is a drunk, let's just say. I'm sure you've heard that before where it's like everybody here is going to be drunk and it's probably going to be really messy. So, you know, be prepared. A lot of people will prepare you in advance before you step into a hostile situation or an unusual situation or one which is kind of incongruous to your normal state of being. I mean, obviously, if you're a drunk and I'm going to take you to go see other drunks, there's no reason for me to tell you. You know, it's like, well, I'm just going to throw you in the tank with the rest. So. The assumption here first is that you're not a moron and you're going to the planet of morons. We need to keep that in mind as we go further.
Yeah, well, or you want to be less, you know, sometimes people say, look, Greek, you're so smart. I'm like, no, I'm just less stupid than you.
Well, yeah, because that's the other thing.
I'm less of a moron, but yeah, so anyway.
Because point
of fact. Are we not allowed to be less moronic? That's the thing, you know.
I imagine there's degrees to everything. Again, priorities. You know, so.
You know how you transgress all that is by pursuing what? Objectivity. Right. Don't get sucked into the emotional stuff and the stuff that the fashionable, you know, like, you know, how many people in the early 70s got sucked up into polyester bell bottoms and wide lapels? Just Yikes. About everyone, right? And yeah, you see, I mean, this is what's, I see this fashion stuff all the time. How about pursuing what things are based on? And then once you find out that they're not based on anything and they're held up in high regard or quote unquote sacred, guess what's going on? You're being what? Pranked. That's why when you go to the doctor, recently I gave you a bounce around here. These are very, you cannot avoid hearing about four or five different subjects when the Greek speak gets going, right? So we're going to bounce between medical talk, legal talk, scientific talk, and scriptural ancient writs, all the ancient writs, let's say, and social stuff, right? But, you know, recently a couple of people have been coming around saying, I went to the doctor for this condition. I said, wait a second. When you first went to him and he diagnosed you, did he strap anything on your arm and told you you have blood pressure? He says, yeah. I said, I don't want to hear anything else you have to say. Let me see what you got. Because that's total quackery, buffoonery, right? And they all engage in it, right? So, you know, the same thing with the attorneys. What has been filed in the case? This is all wrong. This is all, you're being pranked, right? You go to these religious institutions. They're like, what are you talking about? What's going on here, right? None of this stuff. It's all – this is the planet of the prank, right? So, you know, here we went from morons – going from objectivity to morons to being pranked. Do you see how it all – it's like a layer cake, right, with artificial sweetener or more like an onion. And you keep peeling it, it just makes you cry more and more, you know?
Well, so. could be, but I'm not crying about it because it's just – it is what it is. I mean, I end up taking that attitude after a while.
Hold on. It is what it isn't.
That too.
It is what it isn't because it's not what they're showing. Right. So I don't know, man. I mean, look, harken back. Actually, two things. One is we covered a lot of stuff on Ocelli and the Greek, right? We covered just about – everything under the sun that is noteworthily objectified. The other thing we did pretty much, let me just say not we, what was done is we pretty much wiped the floor with every institution and everything mankind holds sacred, pretty much, because what, deservingly so.
Right? Yeah, between the two incarnations of Ocelli in the Greek and some other episodes that were randomly kind of inserted, a couple of things happened in an impromptu fashion, etc. I'd say we did not, or what was done, again, did not really spare virtually anything that is on the planet.
Right. Yeah. In other words, you know, and the interesting thing is, surprise, surprise, you know, it's your birthday, right? Kind of thing people do. I've got so many messages back. Greek, everything you say, I looked up, it's true. I never heard it before. Or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, okay, I'm glad it got you that way. But the reason I'm saying it, I'm not saying it to elaborate or be elated, I'm saying it out of disgust, really, because I'm not a public figure. I'm saying it because it's like, how can there be so many people on this planet with so much access to communication and these things are not even being broached on slightly? It's amazing. It's just freaking amazing. Right. And, you know, so you know, it's, you know, here's another thing. You ready? Dummy load, right? And I think, you know, the dummy load is sort of self-explanatory, you know, being loaded with stuff that's dumb. Now, one thing that when I was doing the solo events, Chuck, before, I said, listen, people, there's this question called the meaning of life and all this stuff, right? You've heard of that. You know, go, what am I here? People get depressed. Oh, I'm bored. I'm depressed. You know, whatever.
Always,
snap out of it. You know, snap. Right. Well, anyway, you got to come to certain realistic realizations, you know? I mean, it's good to be realistic, right? Anyway, maybe not. I kind of broke it down for everyone. I said, look, there's a society now, this has nothing to do with belief. It has to do with examination. What I mean by examination is what's been memorialized in the past. You know, you want to make stuff up or turn the other way, that's your business. But what I'm telling people is what's been memorialized is there is an unseen and semi-intangible society known as the gods, plural, and they have a hierarchy, and there's a chief god there as well, which is also the god of gods. I'm using the G-O-D term because of the audience, right?
Right.
So Western audience, they understand that. Now, the interesting thing there is that if you look at the ancient writs, and this is going to break down, let's say, biblical and other texts down with 30 words or less or a minute or less, which no one has ever done. And I seem to be the only one who could break it down in less than a minute, even though they find it to be so complex and, you know, elusive. It's not. So the gods, basically, they have a scenario and a fixed time plan of 6,000 or 7,000 years, let's say, a curing period. You know, like baking a cake or gluing something together. You know, you don't want to mess around with that too much during that time period where it's curing, right? Or fixing itself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they have to tell you what's happening and what they're going to do, meaning prophecy or the future, right? You've heard of the even secret societies. You know, they always tell you what they're going to do before they do it, right?
Oh, of course.
Whether you see it or not, usually you see it afterwards, you know. But okay, so they got to keep man intact, because if they give him too much information, he'll build a Tower of Babel or a starship and get off the planet, and how can you keep him all contained? But you have to have the information available, and what you do is you give the bulk of this information to a group of people that everyone will hate for whatever reason, and that'll keep everybody from looking objectively at it, and that's basically the biblical text in a nutshell. And the reason I bring that up is because if I would tell you, would you believe me if I said 90% of the emails are about interpreting the biblical text properly?
Oh, no, I absolutely believe that. I'm sure that's what it is.
So that was a lot of the things that I was going to put together for the next solo event was basically, I'm going to give a couple of spoilers. Now, personally, Chuck, everybody cover your ears. I'm going to say something to Chuck. Chuck, you shut down when I get onto the biblical stuff sometimes, but that's okay. Because the thing that tells me is I've got to make it more interesting for some reason, you know?
No. That is not why.
Okay. I just figured I'd bring it up. Listen, this is a private conversation we're having that just happens to be aired, okay?
Yeah, no, so, listen, whoever is hearing this, you're hearing this by coincidence. You and I are having this conversation. It's fine. Reality is that it's not that I shut down. It's just that I'm listening very carefully because I have read a great deal, but I do not trust what I have read.
Good.
And the thing is, I actually don't trust. And see, here's the thing. Trust but verify. You know that old statement? Well, here's my problem. I have a view on this that I've never really discussed with anybody. And I don't want to interfere with what it is you're saying, because what you're saying might make a lot more sense than what is my view. So I'm listening. That's why.
Well, listen to this, because this is something that's been, the malevolent entities have been ruling the planet. And part of the credo is do whatever you can to these humans, but just don't kill them. I mean, kill them off completely, you know what I mean? But the rest of it is play around with them. And remember, anything that's presented, anything that is inherently evil or malevolent or poisonous always has to be presented as the opposite. Has to be presented as appealing, tasteful, and beautiful, and good, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the interesting thing here about it is, like, what you said about reading it and not trusting it. Here, you know, the majority, how many times have I heard me say, this is considered the Christian era? This is by secular historians who are predominantly atheists. It has nothing to do with spirituality. When you hear Christianity, by the way, it is a form, a very low form, if not one of the lowest forms of that. And if you're offended, you should probably just, you know, figure out why you're offended and not be offended by what was just said. But here's the thing.
And the reason
it defines a historical era. Right.
Well, I was going to say it's a condition of exertion on the era. It is not a judgment. It is not about a descriptor because somebody likes it.
But it is
the descriptor of the influence.
But here's how you judge it. But here's how you judge it. You ready? They say, which is not, they base it on what's called the New Testament writ, which I found that 0% of Christianity is based on the Bible. Now, in order to be rational, you might say, Greek, that sounds irrational, zero. Maybe you got to give them 1% or 5%. If it was 1% or 5%, I would grant it, but it's 0% biblical. The only thing that you might say is 1% or 5% biblical about Christianity is it has to do basically with something that happened near and around the area of Judea around 2,000 years ago. Outside of that, it completely falls apart. There's nothing that it pertains to. But here's the thing. Because now we're attaching it to the mainstream. This is mainstream talk this applies to. Let's say they did really base it on the New Testament. When you go into the accepted version, right, what's called the King James Version, and this is the things that I was going to describe breaking it down.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament, the King James Version, when they were to translate that, the committee was given instructions, okay, and I have those instructions, by the way, and I will get into them in the future privately, let's say, or on a solo event.
Okay.
One of the instructions was it was mandatory that all of it was translated out of Greek text. But the problem was the committee noticed that they only had partial Greek texts, only about 6 of them out of 20-some-odd that they needed. So how did they do it? Well, they went to some Latin text, like the Textus Receptus, and translated that into Greek, and then translated out of that. But, okay, that doesn't sound good, does it? Because you know what? That Latin text that they used was translated out of another Greek text that was translated out of Aramaic and Hebrew. And that is the lens that you're looking through. A copy of a copy of a hearsay copy of another hearsay copy, which is a copy of the original.
Well, and I've even read descriptions of things being thrown away in trash cans and then recovered later on, so we're not even you cannot even verify the idea that they were in whole recovered some of these things.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Let me interject this, and I'll get into this in the future, maybe not. No one, please, if I don't get into this, don't hold me to it, because it's still being developed and discovered. What sets the biblical text apart from all other texts is there's a numeric underlying grid pattern. I wouldn't say code, because that's corrupt. The Bible code stuff is baloney. You could use that program on Moby Dick or anything. But there is a numeric code, meaning like each letter has a numeric value, right? And to know, the gods put this in there to those who wanted to do the work and knew about it. If you figured out the numeric value of each letter and added it up, there is a numeric sequence that starts to develop. And if that numeric sequence falls apart, that is the text that was not actually dispensed to men. And this is not in public, by the way. The other thing that is not in public is a little spoiler. I'll just say it because I've been delaying on, and forgive me for sticking on the biblical text. I want to give these spoilers because I've been in delay on the new Sonic project. So these are the things that we're going to be discussing. I'm just going to get to the point. I think it's going to be interesting to some. Here's another thing. If you ever notice how it's preserved in Hebrew and Greek, especially the Hebrew, right?
Right.
It has like a square, rectangular type letter system to it. almost geometric. And by the way, Hebrew in that language is really means Aramaic squared. Most of the world spoke Aramaic, and I'll get into how that morphed. I'll give the spoiler. Why not? Anyone go to online, put in Genesis or any Hebrew text interlinear. Just put it up online and go to images. And it doesn't matter if you know how to read it or not, because you know the scriptural text actually gives instructions on how to study it. And you know what the only requirements of studying scripture is? It doesn't say you have to learn any language. It says you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Hmm.
Well, it doesn't say you have to learn Aramaic, Hebrew, or Greek. And no one's coming back and saying this, so I'm giving the spoiler on what I'm going to be discussing.
Well, I have a question here, and I also want to note some of the things that have been stated in the chat room, if you don't mind, so we don't lose.
Please, let's take a break.
Our place for a moment. First of all, my question is, wouldn't this relate to the idea that at one time there used to be a guy who basically read from the text and then another guy who explained it to the people? So all you would need to do is be able to see these guys and hear them in order to take in the text, if you will, in an intellectual sense. Isn't that kind of why that was done?
Yes, at that time.
Okay.
Because they didn't have miniaturization at that time.
And the printing press, the printing press and things like this had not been, imagined or invented yet.
Yeah, well, whether it's handwritten or printed, though, the understanding is understanding. It's and it's all always audio, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, if you go to any ancient library, modern libraries, they tell you to shut up and sit down if you make noise. Ancient libraries, you were encouraged to read out loud. If you were to walk into an ancient library, this is prior to, let's say, the first century, first millennium, let's say the Library of Alexandria or something like that, or any other part of the world, Babylon or Greece or Rome even, what you did is you picked up your reading material and you sat in a little booth and you read it out loud. So if you actually walked into the library building itself, you felt the vibration of whether it was dozens or hundreds of people, how big the library was and how occupied it was. It's all speaking at the same time. And that's where the conference room started, you see. So if you had a long text, you brought four or five people with you, you went into a room that accommodated four or five people, and you passed it around. Nothing was ever read silently. Like, for example, if you ever watch any old films and things, where I saw one recently a year ago, it was black and white, I think it was Gregory Peck as a captain of a ship, he's reading a letter in his quarters out loud. And I told the person that was with me, I said, this is not done for theatrical or film purposes, this is accurate. No one read silently in the past. Everything was always read out loud.
Mm.
You see, so how many people are aware of this "quote unquote" phenomenon of actually making it sound, frequency emanation, the actual vibration. Right now, if you go to a library and you lean against the wall, it feels like the same like the morgue. It's quiet, right? In an ancient library, you could be outside the building and you lean and touch the wall, and it's vibrating. You see?
Well, right. And there's a great deal to be said about that in the esoteric sense, because look, even the most basic understanding of the biblical text will tell you that God spoke, from what I understand, and therefore things happen. I look at it.
Yeah, but that's jumping. Here's the thing. There is a Judeo-Christian ethic that has screwed up everyone in their mind. It's when you say God, which one, if you want to get more specific, right?
I was being very general for the sake of the audience, but fact is that a deity speaks and action occurs because of the strength of the resonant speech. There is something to the spell of spoken word, is there not?
There is, but it's also like a general in Washington, D.C. can speak and troops move in Iran or Iraq or Russia. Or something. It gets communicated to a set of people that actually do it. They have specific. There are. You know how? Let's just bounce around and go. I want to go back to the original spoiler point. How these native savages, ignorant people that the Western people have been told the Native Americans were because they had, the way they dressed and the way they worshiped. They built totems and. To all these various elemental gods and things, like this river god, bear god, and all that. Oh, they're so ignorant, you see. We only have one god. No, those people are actually quite advanced. Like, have you ever heard of, for example, the bees disappearing, right? And, you know, they have to give you some chemical, mechanical explanation. How about the entity or the deity behind the bees is deciding to retract them? Because it's a very sensitive one, and it's been commanded to do so. And then when you understand of the veracity of these various elementals or entities that are behind the natural world, like, for example, the cockroach has a very, very, very adamant and very strong deity behind it. You ever try to get rid of roaches?
Yeah, right. I was just going to say cockroaches, right.
Yeah. And also other certain kinds of birds and fish and things. So when the whales are diminishing, it's not because, well, okay, yeah, you've been inspired to harpoon them and destroy their environment a lot, but there is a deity or an entity behind them that controls the whales that is retracting them. Now, this is not. This has nothing to do with whether you believe it or not, but it is a good belief because the term belief really means you have knowledge of something that's going to happen before it happens. You know that? So when someone says, I believe in this, I'm like, okay, you believe in it. So when is it going to take place? Well, what are you talking about? Belief just is a temporal condition where you have information about something that's going to happen before it happens. You see? So when people say, I believe in the tooth fairy, I'm like, okay, well, what believe the tooth fairy is going to do what? You see? So this whole – people are not using these concepts right. But I want to go back to the spoiler. What you just need eyes to see and ears to hear. If you look at these ancient texts and you notice they have a block form to them and spaces and all that, anyone can do this. Go online and put in Genesis in Hebrew or any kind of Hebrew letters. And then I want you to just expand the page into the monitor, you know, the stupid rectangle, and take a straight edge and just cover most of the letter. Just leave the top of the letters exposed. What do you see? Don't you see dot, 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 bat, dash, space, dot, 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 space, dot, dash, dot, 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 space?
Looks a lot like Morse code, yeah.
Ah, thank you. Now, if you lower it slightly, you get another set of codes, and you lower it again, you get another set of codes, and if you go vertical, you get another set of codes, and if you look at the numeric value of each word, if you put all that together, you have roughly on each page of these ancient texts 15 minutes of audio and video code in MIDI or SMPTE. This is what I was going to get into. And you are in a time right now where you have the computing power and the algorithm to do this. So forget about how many times have you read or people have tried to read scripture and they're like, this doesn't make any sense because it's all over the place. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is being preserved for do you know that 90% of it is about this time we're living in right now? I wouldn't say that, but say 70% of it is about the time we're living in right now, and 90% of it is about things, about future events, and the other 10% is basically laws, like a handbook.
Well, yeah, but now let me just enter something here. A couple things. One, I want to make sure we get to these questions that are contemporaneous with what it is you're discussing from the listeners. But the other thing I want to enter before that is that historically it has been recounted that many times people have described it as this is the era we're living in, this is the era we're living in, this is the era we're living in. This has been described over and over again for hundreds of years where people say that it's now. And I wonder which I'm supposed to.
That's right, because there's no – that's you've heard of the boy who cried wolf and the finger, you know, the dike's going to burst and all that. That's the beauty of it. And also there's no validation. Like those idiots, they said the time is now. Ask them what day it is. What are they going to tell you? Something between January and December and Monday through Friday. There is
We skipped that at the beginning of the show, but we will get there eventually.
It's the 29th – I would say it's the 29th till noon of the fifth month, lawfully. And when I say lawful timekeeping, that's what the birds, the whales, the roaches, the bees, the rivers, and your body and the planets work on. You know, we've referred to it as the Pope's work schedule.
Right.
And again, just to say it again, you know, there's a lot of people bad-mouthing the Vatican. And if you're going to do something, you know, you should say what you do and do what you say and live a certain way accordingly. And these people, you know, usually if I run into them bad-mouthing the Vatican or whatever, I say, well, what day is it? And I'm waiting for them. The minute they say anything between January and December and Monday through Friday, it doesn't matter if they know it or not. They are admitting with their own mouth, with their own volition, with their own voluntarily declaring that they are a papal subject. Because that January through December, Monday through Friday, is strictly for the papal subjects, not for real people. You notice I said real people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Because if you don't know, that's why they have to do reality checks, right? But anyway, the other ones. So it's around the fifth month. Look, people. Look, Septem means seven. Octo means eight, doesn't it? Doesn't Novem mean nine and Decem mean 10? Come on,
yeah,
hint,
last I heard, yeah.
Yeah, hint. And the day starts at noon, and the first day of the month is the full moon, which rises in the east. Oh, boy. And, you know, look, you want to talk about lawfulness? Oh, man, what does that mean? It just means it has to be based on something. Now, you know, here's the other thing. Let's go back to what you were saying earlier. You know, if you preach doom and gloom in any time in human history, it sounds about right, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Apparently. And if you preach,
yeah, the same thing. Oh, this is the time now. So there's a very specific time element when things happen in there, in any text, by the way. You know, even if you look at some of the early American texts, they will date it, let's say, June such and such. But when in the body of the text, it says in this fourth month. But wait a second, isn't June supposed to be the sixth month? See, because the people then still had a sense of lawfulness. Why? Because they were more agrarian. They didn't get their food wrapped in plastic. You see?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the thing about that, what makes it more specific is very simple. Is that if you say now or then or was or is, aren't you referring to time? Right?
Yes.
So
yes.
If you don't know how to keep time, placing anything within a time sequence in any ancient writ is not possible. Not possible. It's all circumstantial, and again, it goes into what's called faith, which is blind faith, or, right, you see. So
well, exactly. Now, wait. Before, because I know where you're going to go here, I want to enter a couple of things that were gotten here before I get lost, because I'm going to lose track of everything. First of all, the first question that I noticed was, is the guest aware of Mauro? It looks like Mauro Bilino. Okay, don't know that name personally.
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's one thing. Next thing that is here is the King James is the Protestant, they put in all capital letters, version Latin Vulgate, V-U-L-G-A-T-E, that's the way that's spelled there. Okay, the Catholic Bible is the only complete compilation.
Mm.
All right, these are, well, hang on, let me get to it, right? We have, let's see, these all right, that's not necessary. Word, phonics, sonics, Edgar Allan Poe, bells, okay, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm now going back through stuff, making sure I'm not missing anything.
That's fine. So this is interaction. I should turn the chat on. This is on the Ocelli Effect chat, correct? I think I even linked that up on Uncommon Radio. So let's go back and find it.
Well, yeah, I think you did. And I went to, the Greek speak, Chatango room and dropped a link there to, let people know that would be the one that I was looking at. So it would be good if you joined in the chat room there. Maybe you could keep track of it better than me based on the fact that, quite simply, you have better eyesight. So, it'll be okay.
So some of the spoilers are very interesting. Well, by the way, in keeping time, what's it called? Plausibility? Because everyone knows it or does it, it must be right. And if very few or no one knows it or does it, it's not right. Is that what plausibility is? That, let's say, a good use for it?
I don't know if that would be plausibility. Would that be?
Yeah, meaning like it's accepted, right?
Mm.
In other words, if you're in your life, if anywhere in your life, you start to find that pretty much everything around you is not acceptable as it's been, let's say, packaged. Right. Let's say if you go look at the medical system, okay, it's good to have a medical system or society, isn't it? Of course, because you're pursuing in your life what you want to pursue. And if you need something in that subject matter or that genre, you need to go to someone who's expert in that. But if
there's
examine
nothing wrong with specialists in any area,
that's
really,
right.
So long as they are the specialists who are focused on a particular set of ideas, concepts, learning and facilities in order to propagate that thing. So if the medical society were as it is represented, this would be people who have studied, learned, and been specialized in the body, medicine, et cetera, so that they can be extremely helpful.
But
at
but
any
are
given
they?
Time when there's a problem. There's the issue. So
now, here's the thing. There's a lot of complaint. Let's just give the very clear reason, a clear analogy and description of an explanation of exactly what they're doing. and you know you're always going to get this in Greek speak. What they are simply doing, well, first of all, they're an entitled class. They have a social rank. When you hear doctor, that commands respect socially. So number one, it has social rank. Number two, all they are doing, yes, all they are doing is applying over about 2,000 or 3,000 years of battlefield medicine to their subjects, to their patients. Right? That's what they're, you know, what I mean by battlefield medicine is that, you know, lacerations, cuts, burns, breaking, things like that, right? All the rest of it is just an abject failure. You know, the pills, the vaccines, the therapies, the way the body works is all what's called medical fiction.
Well, yeah, right? And quite objectively, look, let me just take a look at it from my point of view based on what I've been able to observe. Generally speaking, the most successful interactions I have ever had with those in the medical community have been when there is an emergent situation regarding something that could be defined as battlefield medicine.
Right.
And again, you know, this is cuts, burns, injuries, broken bones that need to be set. They are effective for doing that. They are effective for, well, being able to assist one in stitching up wounds so that you don't bleed to death.
Yeah, but hold on, Chuck. Let's go back a little bit more.
Okay.
What they give the appearance of being effective, and I said they're applying that. How effective they are is not. There are things that I would like to discuss in the future that even serious wounds can be treated a certain way by you, not by it. And within a few days, it'll just look like you have a minor scratch. Where if you were to go to them, it'll be months and months and possible infections and recovery. And the way you do that is by comprehending the workings of what's called the lymphatic system, which no one discusses.
And there's No. Right? Listen, I'm not disputing any of what you're saying. I'm simply trying to explain that when you have an emergent or emergency situation, they can be quite helpful, especially because
they give the appearance. They give the appearance of being helpful. And the only reason, let me just interject this. The reason why they seem they're so helpful is because they're readily available by the equipment and the edifices they have. You make a call, they come in a red taxi, guys in a uniform, and they patch you up quickly and they take you to a building. And that gives the impression or the appearance that they're helpful, but because they have the equipment and the availability to back them up. Just like McDonald's, for example, is quite helpful when you're hungry. Wherever you go, you seem to, you know, you go in there and you eat something, and they're helpful when you're really hungry, aren't they? But it's McDonald's. I don't mean to use a brand name like that, but you see what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but I want you to wrap your mind around something else. And that is that to me, it's you're being a little bit harsh, because if I am wounded, injured, etc., my facilities to deal with my own situation may not be helpful at that time.
Do you have paper towels and electrical tape?
Well, yes, but if you are weak from the injury or incapable because it is your hands that are injured.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's a big if with a capital F, but here's the interesting part of it.
Point of them being useful that I'm speaking to, not in a general sense.
This might seem patently ridiculous until you prove it, and people prove it all the time that I've discussed it with, that walking – could you imagine walking into an ICU and having, you know, intensive care unit and having half the people go home the next day? Not move to a regular hospital room, go home the next day from ICU.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, okay. Why isn't this being discussed? Well, because it's bad for business. But if you have electrical tape and the paper towel, I'll explain to you how to do it. It's very simple. The worst burns, the worst cuts, compound fractures, all this stuff can be healed very, very quickly. There's an interesting book about it. New York Times reporter wrote, going into the outback of Australia back in the 80s, and she was amazed at how this one guy fell into this ditch and got a compound tibial fracture, and what they did, and he was walking on it in 3 days, and in a week it looked fine. Where if you were in a modern facility, what do? They pin it and they put a strut around it, and in about 6 months of therapy, maybe you'll walk on it. You see, so this is, they're dealing with the lymphatic system, and by the way, you have more lymphatic fluid in your body than you do blood. The original Pasteur research was done on the lymphatic system, not blood. But because of the effectiveness, and also it shows that the body does not absorb things like they've been taught, if you look at the lymphatic system, that couldn't be right acknowledged. But jumping around, you know, we're talking about, brought up the medical system. Now, this is what they're effective. Once you start learning about what they're supposed to be doing with the human body, not because you're listening to what they're saying the human body does, but because you have one and you can observe what it's doing. Think about how removed society is, where they actually have to go to someone else to tell them about their stuff. I need a financial consultant to tell me about my money. What are you talking about? Do you know that in the codes it says that if you're only – the money is considered commercial paper, right? That's what it's called. That only experts in commercial paper should be dealing with it? There's another code that says that it's illegal. You should not authorize to use Federal Reserve notes. I mean, we can go down the line. Okay, bouncing around to different things, you know, you have what's called the scientists, and, you know, they tell you about evolution, right? Has anyone read Darwin? No. Have you ever read Darwin yourself? It's all speculation.
And yeah, you know what? I've read it.
And the interesting thing is, do you remember anywhere in any of Darwin's works, actually which he got from his grandfather, he discusses the evolution of humans? None. It's not in there.
Actually, no. That's the interesting part about that. When people bring up, well, what about Darwin? And I go, well, actually,
about birds and bugs.
Yeah, birds, bugs. There's a couple of fish. Other mammals of sorts, fish.
There is no discussion of humanity. So, okay, keep going down the line. So what are you guys talking about? Now, look at the modern religions. You know, in Christianity, of course, the first thing they show you is a guy nailed to a crucifix wearing a diaper, you know, and long hair. Well,
oh, boy, here we go with that.
Okay, if you read the text, hold on, because the crucifixion once came up with you, and you're kind of brought up like, well, you know, if he was hanging out, like, look, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of the matter, right? And the hand washing tells us that he knew the law, because the elders, if you know the biblical law, if something bad's about to happen or has happened, the elders have to wash their hands publicly to show they have nothing to do with it or had nothing to do with it, right? So well, right away, that's
legitimate, right. Roman governors of his time would have to know not only the local law, but the Roman law inside and out, because penalties for not following it would have been pretty extreme on him, and he would have been considered exactly not an educated or worthy or fit for office in his time period if he was not fully aware of those laws. So, yeah, go ahead.
That's right. Well, actually, in his position, there is a lot of writings which have been changed. It's interesting, if you go into publications that are in books, yes, those things called books or print that are really old or more than 100 years old, you'll see what's on the internet or the stupid rectangle does not match. But Pontius Pilate had a fascination with the Syriac and Judean culture, so he was personally studying it before he was a perfect asset to be brought there, you see. So he was very well versed in it. But even if you don't know the text, in several places like the Book of Mark and Luke, he says, I see no guilt in this man, and I'm returning him back to you to use your law, and I'm making an exception to do so. Now, he's returning him back to who? The Judean authorities. Now, right. What law do the Judean authorities use? Do they use Roman civil law, or do they use the law of Moses?
Well, I would figure they're using the law of Moses.
Correct. So under the law of Moses, now they actually balked about this, if you read the text, and historically also. Oh, well, how we're under Rome. He says, I'm making this exception. So it's showtime. It's been over 100 years since there's been a Mosaic execution. It's all been Roman executions, typically. This is a big exception. This is like, a historical moment.
Well, sorry, what he's done here effectively, though, is handed over jurisdiction, because
sentencing and execution was handed over. The jurisdiction was accepted because they came to him last because he was the occupier. But he handed over the execution. So you read that we knew that he was nailed to an almond tree. How do we know that? Because we read the rest of the text. We're not that stupid. We could take 20 hints about the almond tree being important, right? And it says the people passed from the third to the ninth hour. There's places in the Psalms where it's prophetically that the flesh is being torn from his body. And we know that it was a single almond tree. And also, if we look at the law, it says anything that hangs on a tree is to be burned. Well, didn't they take his body down and put it into a tomb, rolled a big heavy stone over it, and that tomb was guarded by Roman guards? Why? Because the Judeans wanted to come and take the body. Why? To burn it. So there is no Roman crucifixion. It was a stoning. And what they did was they hung you up high on a tree and everybody passed by for 6 hours throwing stones. There is no such thing. The other thing is, what's this thing with Christmas? If you're going to send a time machine, a time capsule into the future, and you put a tissue in there, you're going to write Kleenex on it, or you're going to write facial tissue? You see? You can't write a brand name. So all these things. But anyway, here, just to get to the punchline, there's an astronomical alignment when he was born. It's very, very precise. And if you know the astronomical alignment, you will see that it happened at 3 BC on the month of September, the day of 11. Have you heard of that day before?
Oh, I sure have.
Don't you think they had a big birthday? It's your birthday. Remember? In 2001?
That's right.
So I mean, what's wrong with you people? The other thing here is, okay, let's go to the other religion, right? The one that is all so terrible right now. No, it's not terrible. It's quite whatever. Let me just put it this way. Hey, Chuck, you know the purpose of a uniform is to communicate one's occupation at a distance, right?
Of course.
Right? That's why you put a uniform on. You know, so if you see somebody with a badge and a blue uniform and a blue hat and a nightstick and you go to him for help, says, I'm not a cop. What do you mean? Well, you're wearing the uniform. Well, up until around 1500 or so, the uniform of the world's oldest profession was a woman covering her face and her whole body with hijabs and burqas and things like that.
Right.
Now, how can you be so righteous when you insist on all of your women dressing like the world's oldest profession? I think you need to do a reality check. Do you see what's going on here?
Yeah,
no,
I...
really, 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 really bad stuff going on, but is it really bad? Hey, look, you know, if you go to an insane asylum and speak to people there, not everything they're saying is completely insane. If you are listening to what an insane person says with some discernment, they might actually say something that's, you know, pretty right on. But generally what they say and do is deserving for them to be there. Let's just say altruistically what the purpose of an insane asylum is, right?
Yes.
So if you start looking at what everyone is doing, I mean everyone except for a very, very tiny, tiny sparse few, you can go back to the old Goethe saying, which says you need not visit an insane asylum to meet disturbed spirits because the world is the earth is the insane asylum of the universe. So anyway, you see, there are so many points. Where do you go? It's like, you know, gushing and exploding at with things to be considered so simply that are not anywhere.
But no, and that's absolutely the point of this. And by the way, we're getting toward the time when we're going to take a break, just so everybody knows. Apparently, there's a bit of an interference on some of the listening channels for this discussion. I assure you that the archive will be entirely clean. Don't know what that's all about, folks, but we're doing the best we can here. And quite honestly, this is an interesting, well, reprise, if you will, of a lot of things that we have discussed in the past on Ocelli and the Greek, but few additional spoilers have been added in case you missed them. So I would suggest that you guys get the archive later also, along with listening live as you're doing now. And it's pretty fascinating thus far, Greek, I got to tell you. And, well, you know, we might get into some other areas.
Just anything, you know. I mean, everything's kind of wrong. So, people very often ask them, is this wrong? I say, well, maybe it's not wrong, but it sure ain't right.
Yeah, and isn't that the point of most things at this time? You know, like I keep saying all the time, everything is mislabeled. No matter what you call it, it's probably not what it is described as. And meanwhile, the language has absolutely been confounded. Wait a minute, that sounds familiar. We are confounded by our language constantly. And there may be a very good reason for that. Anyway, as we go further, Greek, I guess it's going to get a little deeper. And, well, there's my son you might hear in the background real quick. He's disturbed by the condition of things. And hopefully we will be able to continue this conversation in the next hour. So, Greek, where should we leave them here in the last minute?
Oh, there's let's just hold, let them hold their breath till the next hour.
Well, there you go. I wouldn't literally suggest that, but perhaps.
Come on. Isn't it fun to see? I mean, we'll look at the number of how many people pass out on the chat. Is that possible? But anyway.
Four and a half minutes. That would be pretty funny. Anyway, look, we can all be amused at this time because there's a lot of pranking going on. And the Greek is with me tonight. This is a rare event. And I'm pretty happy to do this. It's an interesting time to do it as well. And, well, all times appear to be interesting, even if you don't know exactly how to tell time. Okay, so we'll be back with the Greek in just a moment. Stay tuned to the Ocelli Effect.
Windows. I use organic web design for all my website, hosting, and digital design needs. High quality work, reliable and competitive. Go to organicwebdesign.eu and contact Tony for a free quote.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. The brilliant author of The War State brings you exclusive reports about the big changes upcoming in the markets. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Okay, can we get quiet, please? Everybody sit down. Young man in the front row, spit that gum out. Thank you. Cherry flavor. And now the moment we've been waiting for. The man whom we all know and have grown to love over the years. Who won the Nobel Peace Prize for making the largest flavored Jell-O shooter that the world has ever seen. And a great man of science who proved to us once and for all that no matter how much cherry flavored Jell-O you put in your swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. I give to you, Chuck O'Kelly! Yeah!
Oh, I can never take myself too seriously as we go into the second hour of the O'Kelly Effect here. Originating from O'Kelly.com, of course, it is heard on various other networks and various other facilities live and in replay. So tonight we have the Greek with us, and this is a sort of unique and rare occurrence to actually have him on this show. We did a show together, past tense, and did more than one incarnation of it, which was loaded with very similar information and some of the very same information, in fact, that has already been covered tonight. But hey, you never know what'll come next. And this to me is pretty interesting, as always. And I hope that you, the listener, find it to be exactly as I do. Anyway, Greek, you know, it's a lot to it and a lot needs to be repeated, it seems. And we do have more questions and more interactions from the audience tonight, which I'll be more than happy to read into the conversation as it becomes pertinent. One random question, though, which I find fascinating. Before we even begin, I want to throw it in, actually. Mm-hmm. And you do with it as you like, but let's see now. Okay. The music, I believe, please ask the Greek about the soul and temperature. I think it is 12 degrees Celsius and below, the soul becomes visible in the atmosphere when you are outside. But I would like to know why this occurs and if I am correct in the temperature range with my guess.
Yeah, or in the 40s Fahrenheit, let's say. Or so, 12 would be, from what I recall, between 40 and 50, somewhere in there. The soul is just your breath, and the moisture that the body produces comes out through the breath. And, you know, I think we did a discussion about the spirit and the soul. I think we kept hammering what that means, what those words mean based on the Greek etymology, and also if you go to other cognate languages that are predate, English and Latin, you would go into, you know, the cognatives. Aramaic, Syriac, Hebrew, and all that, they all are in agreement with the definitions we gave, which is the soul is your breath. Everyone has interchangeable souls because it's not only your breath, it's your metabolism as well, right? Meaning circulation, flow, digestion, all that, right? If you stop breathing, your digestion will stop and your blood circulation will stop. Your metabolism stops. So that is the soul. And the spirit is the mind, which is psyche. That's why you see PSY always. That's stuff that's to do with the mind. Psychopath, psychic, psychotronic, psychologist, psychiatrist. You know, it's funny, you know, when you meet someone who's a psychiatrist, say, oh, you're a spiritualist. They're like, huh? I'm like, okay, come on. You're supposed to be a professional and you're a high-ranking individual in social rank, and you don't even know etymologically what the label of your profession means. I'm finished with this guy. You know, I mean, get him out of here, you know. But and also the soul is a pneuma, PNU. Whenever you see the PNU prefix, like pneumatic, where the P is silent, pneumatic, pneumonia, right? All those words mean the soul. It has to do with movement of air. So that's actually whoever that question would seem as a trick question, the one you just read. At the 12 degrees Celsius, the soul becomes apparent. Mm-hmm. To most people that don't know. So this is someone who's in the know. not because I say so. You know, a lot of times people say, well, Greek, who do you think you are? You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you know, the reason I'm saying these things is because anyone will see it once they look at anything objectively. And like I said before, I don't want to be a public figure anyway. It's just that I'm utterly aghast on how there's no discussion on what things really are based on. And, you know, here's the thing. Chuck, you know, there's, for looking at whatever media, for years there's been people coming in the alternative saying, well, this means that. You know, like the zeitgeist stuff, the commercial system, the government stuff with the straw man, all this, you know, all this stuff. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. It sounds good. It has the appearance of being good. You know, there's a difference between something being good and having the appearance of being good. It's still baseless. I think the world is still awash at baselessness. I think we started off saying, you know, why not, you know how they, the power always has to, anyone in power always has to tell the population what they're going to do before they do it, even if it's cryptid, right? Or sort of like distasteful to
them.
Well,
and this is, let's get into a technical sense here. That is a lawful way to conduct oneself. You do describe your actions before you take them. When they're going to affect others. I mean, this is one
notice.
Of those things you give notice, right? I mean, and this is in the esoteric sense. This is in the legal sense. This is in all venues in which you're going to take an action that's going to have effects on others. You're supposed to give notice. I mean, it's just one of those things.
There is an exception when it comes to traps and pranking. See, when someone's going to give the two metaphors, the one with the trap is easy. Avoidance of a trap is knowledge of its existence. Because once you know it's a trap and you go into it, it's no longer a trap. It's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. That's a tragedy means you had foreknowledge. That's why whenever you see these nationally popularized negative events that happen on television, what do they call them? Tragedies. Right? Like 9/11 tragedy, this tragedy, that someone knew it was coming.
Well, not only that, but when you take a look at, you know, the Shakespearean structure or whatever, there is always a narrator who turns to the audience, seemingly not engaged in the play scene, that explains to the audience basically what's coming.
Greek tragedies, yeah. The first act in the Greek tragedy, they tell you how it's going to end and they go through the whole thing.
Well, that's the Greek, right? And that's where I knew we would go next. But what I'm saying is this is a theatrical structure for a reason. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's the pranking, though. The pranking, though, they don't give a lot of notice, but it's not difficult to substantiate that it's a form of pranking. I'll give you an example. Remember that spaceship we were cruising the galaxy with, right? And I'm going to tell you, Chuck, when we go down to this planet, you're going to notice that Kevlar underwear is the largest industry on this planet because they have a tradition to put a thumbtack on the seat before they sit down.
Well, that would make sense.
Right. This is the prank. Like what the legal society said, it's 100% pranking. If you understand the laws of the United States, which are very similar but yet different than other countries, the legal society from the Supreme Court down is no different than a lemonade stand. Someone that sets up a lemonade stand. If you now wait a second, Greek, that doesn't sound right. Well, it's beyond that because it also represents the matron goddess, justice, right? Which is each nation has a matron, mother or female, or patron, father, male figure, god over them. The Greeks had Zeus. The Western world has Justicia, like Britannia, Columbia, right? Okay.
Right.
Now, the legal system is pure pranking because if you look at the laws, everything is administrative, not judicial. It only becomes judicial once the administrative court has a ruling. Well, then you're going to go and fight what the compensation or whatever is in the judicial. You know, there's a lot of discussion these days about police brutality, murders and all that. I think they're up to the police killed 1,000 people last year, right? Something like that. And this year, the graph looks like it's going to go higher, you know. Well, first of all, does anyone know anything about what's called the police? Well, let me just give it very simply. First of all, let's just say they're trained. They're not part of the state. They're subcontractors, and there's North Carolina law which dictates that. As a matter of fact, the North Carolina law and the attorney general and other people have put posters in the police station saying, if you have anything in your name, take it out, because anything you do out here, you're doing on your own private volition, right? This is in North Carolina. The other thing is, who trains the police across the country? Do you know? I'll tell you. The Attorney General's office. Attorney General doesn't know anything about law. part of the Justice Department, which has it's a religion. Okay, here's the other thing. How did police come into society? Well, let's just talk about America. You know, you had the westward movement, let's say, in the past 150 years, and also you started establishing banking districts in the East Coast, like New York, Massachusetts. The banks were very large and popular there, you know, for centuries, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a bank come in, and in an urban environment, the bank forms what's called a district within that jurisdiction. It's called a banking district. And in order to protect their interests, they create what's called what? A police department. So now you know the history of where the police came from. When you had a monarchy, the sheriff displayed his interests. You see, he served commercial paper for the... So how come this is not being discussed? Well, because this is planet Earth, the Kevlar underwear. Anyway, so do you know, I think we've discussed... the concept of justice by name is the revived goddess religion, and it doesn't have anything to do with law as much as it does that there is a historical personification or historical underlying theme that every society known to man has always had a patron or matron deity behind it.
Right? Okay, now let me interject here, because this is one of the big problems that I always have when I agree with you. On this, I get all sorts of messaging from people who have this concept of the feminine goddess, and that this is a symbol of empowerment for women, and that you know everything has been a patriarchal system, and that's why the world is screwed up. Because I know, but let me finish the argument, because I want to throw it all at you at once, and I want you to deal with it, because I've tried.
It's easy. Very easy, Chuck. Hold on.
Well, I can't dispossess these people. But wait. The idea is that I cannot dispossess them of the idea that they believe somehow that they are empowered by, and this is mostly women, are empowered by the feminine goddess, that this is a representation that they should embrace, because this is just, this is kind, this is nurturing, this is, you know, and I use the word just, yes, I apologize.
No, that's fine, because we're speaking
equitable.
English.
But it's equitable. How about that?
Remember earlier we said if you have something that's just downright nasty, you have to present it as being downright beautiful or good?
Of course.
Okay. Now these people objectifying. Here, let me just harken back. You know, when I look at recently, I looked at some of the comments, and we don't have any negative comments, by the way, on the ONG or other stuff, because usually the people, it seems to attract a certain group of people that don't mind something being sweet in their mouth and bitter in their stomach, because that's what happens with a lot of the truth in this existence. But I was reading one comment where someone had said that, oh, I don't know about this Greek, he just insulted all the old people, wait until he gets over 50. And you replied something like, well, he already is over 50, you know. What I find with whenever I see a negative comment is I don't really take it to heart, but I do consider it, because that comment usually displays what I've been saying and shows the person's not even listening.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help? Now, here's the other thing. Let's say this is one way to reply to these people, because remember, this is planet Earth. We've already established the label on the planet, right? Because, you know, you don't see the back of the moon. Because there's a big billboard there. It says you're going to Earth, right? This is your last chance before you encounter, you know what. So, but that's not really why we don't see the back of the moon. But here's an interesting way to – I came across a lot of this over 10 or 15 years ago when I started speaking on this, is what I would give Chuck to – what I would say to someone that it empowers them and such. And so what has nothing to do with whether it's male or female, man or woman, it has to do with whether it's benevolent or malevolent. And an example of that was, let's say you're driving along in your car and you get carjacked and someone's got a ski mask. They get out of the car, blow your brains out. You get out, you give them the car. Okay, down the road, they get caught. You get your car back. They pull the ski mask off and it's a woman. And you go around and saying that I got carjacked by a woman. Does that make you anti-feminine? No, it just so happens the carjacker or the robber was a woman. Just so happens that this particular malevolent entity is a female of female gender. Just so happens. But here's the thing. What are the chances that most people on this planet are not paying attention and they will just hear a few sounds that they try to connect to something and they make a judgment call whether they like it or agree with it or not before they've thought it through completely? Pretty high. Mm-hmm. That's the way most people operate. Right. Isn't that encouraging? That's why, you know, for example, you know, like, you know, you have a pretty good platform. You know, I see you're moving on your, you know, you're doing the streaming thing and all that. The website looks good and everything. But when I looked, by the way, on Uncommon Radio, I think I put a thing on there. Let's try to raise like 500 credits for Chuck, right? Let's see. And I think the people that like GreekSpeak can do that. But I look at it, and I look through your Patreon page, and I'm like, come on, you got to have like a couple hundred people by now. So I would recommend dumbing it down, Chuck. You're not dumb enough, because if you were dumber, maybe you'd get more people coming. You see, that's the recommendation that I give people that are public, that want to do public things. You see?
Well, and you know what's funny is I can attest to this. A couple of years ago, you and I were talking about, well, gee, how is it that one generates interest doing what it is I've chosen to do? And you have no objection to what it is I'm doing. Some people think, well, the Greek must hate the rest of what it is you do. Quite honestly, no. He listened to a show of mine and decided he wanted to pair up with me, actually, right, based on the manner of my presentation and my ability to carry on a conversation. So, you know, that's the first thing you need to be dispossessed of here. But the second thing is that there was this thing where we were sitting there discussing, well, let's look objectively at what is successful in this realm. And we found that people playing with toys and opening up pieces of candy on YouTube videos were having, you know, millions of people watch them.
Or strictly political ranting and raving, taking aside political stances, which is irrelevant. And all these. So right now you might be stuck in the middle, lukewarm. You're either not hot for the, you know, the stupidity or, you know, maybe, you know, so it's a tough position to be in. But here's the other thing, Chuck, if you just really stepped it up and got, you know, it took it to the next level, then you'd lose whatever audience you have. This is planet Earth, man. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a saying. You've heard the saying, a sucker is born every minute, P.T. Barnum. But no one likes to say the rest of it, which is a sucker is born every minute because you could never underestimate the intelligence of the American public, meaning the dumber the better. And this is just – this has nothing to do with a persona, individual, anyone that's listening to this specifically. It has to do with the group wholesale. It's just like if you walk into an airplane warehouse, you expect to see all airplane parts, don't you? But, you know, someone left a half-finished tuna fish sandwich. That's not an airplane part. Yeah, that's because, you know, it's just something temporary. You do have some people that come through temporarily because we fortunately have a short lifespan. And I want to get into this. What's the meaning of life? I kind of brought it up. Might as well say it now. A lot of people, you know, they get depressed. I'm bored. I'm depressed. You know, all this crap. Listen. Once you start looking at why you're here, it's very simple. The gods have set up a scenario of a curing period of X amount of thousands of years, right? And now one thing that I've discussed before is, you know, we know what a bear is because we know enough about a bear that we could say we know what bears are. But we really don't know what a bear is because I don't know anyone who's really sat down and had an eight-hour conversation with them and relayed us back more detail. Okay. We know enough about the gods. We don't know exactly who and how they are, but we know enough about them that we know that they are what? Into what? Numbers, large numbers. They are creators, and every time they do something, they do things in large numbers, whether it's molecules, you know, stars in the sky, grains of sand on the beach. You ever notice anything in creation always is constituted of large numbers on the macro and the micro? So if they're creating, let's say, the human race, it's based on numbers. Even they tell you the quality is very, very low. There's a certain amount of numbers that have to come through until the thing is redone and the quality then goes up. Now, there's two reasons the quality is low. One is that you're subject to death. And at one point, mankind had a lifespan of near 1,000. That didn't work out very well because that was too much time to think about stuff. So they had to lower it down to less than 100 years on average, right? So, you know, you just this way, you know, all the numbers of people fit in, right? Now, this is one thing that you can say about this planet. Well, you know, when you're searching for the common denominator of something, right, what does everyone have in common? Very simple. Everyone takes up a certain amount of space, and you could figure it out using the Archimedean method. You just dunk them in the tank, and the amount of water that it comes up is their exact body volume. That's the amount of space. You could figure that out exactly.
Displacement, and the other thing,
displacement, right? And the other thing that they all have in common when they're alive is they give off heat, and that's measurable as well. So what everybody has in common is that they're all space heaters. You got some smart space heaters. This is like a pun on smartphones, right? And you got others that are not. You got weaponized space heaters, you know, people in the military. There's a weaponized, because, you know, we don't, if you use the word moron too much, it kind of grates people. And we want to keep this PG. I mean, there's even more accurate terms I could use. But, and they sort of broach into the medical side of things. But so, and also we've always had a creed. I always want to give in every sonic presentation some lascivious comment. So I don't know when that's going to come around. But you see, that's what everyone has. So when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with just an ordinary space heater that complains about its cord is busted or its light is switch isn't working. Or you got a smart space heater that might, you know, print pretty pictures or talk funny or whatever. This is the planet you're on. And don't forget the Kevlar underwear. And don't forget the goddess religion. And don't you see how it all compounds? You see? Now,
absolutely. And this is what led you to, at one point, call me a fish sandwich on air. And I appreciated that, actually. that was pretty funny.
I don't remember all that. Yeah, but somewhat. I like to bring up the fish sandwich one.
Yeah, I was once reminded of it because what happened is, you know, when you go to McDonald's, here we go with the brand name again.
Oh,
but when you go to McDonald's, you could get something a little better, like a salad or a fish sandwich. And I said, so what you're saying is I'm the fish sandwich. And you said, yeah. I said, okay, well, there you go. And we just moved on from there. That was just about that particular comment. Now, I don't want to let go of something because it has been noted by more than one person listening that we abandoned very quickly the patriarchal and matriarchal discussion. And I want to hammer home the significance of the fact that, sure, they dressed it up nice and pretty, this idea of the matriarchal, of the goddess, and the goddess is pleasant, the goddess is Gaia, the goddess is Mother Earth.
There are many of them, but the one that is ruling most of the nations now happens to be malevolent. Just like in a secular form, this country was ruled by a malevolent dictator, and then it got a benevolent king, you know, so it goes back and forth. But here's there are goddesses that are benevolent. Wisdom, for example, Sophia is personified as such, right? The earth is not necessarily a goddess, but you can say that there is a goddess behind it. The earth has a spirit also. By the way, you know, when animals die, their spirit go back to the earth spirit. So, you know, this is the interesting thing about discussing these things is, you know, people say, I don't believe that. I don't like that. I don't need to be told what the theory, blah, blah, blah. But the wise will, whether this confounds them, they don't agree with it, whatever, the wise will recognize what is being said should be filed away for a later time because maybe the time isn't now, right, for these things. Right. And that's the thing sometimes when you give information that's out of place, it doesn't make sense. Like if you discuss September 11th, you know, happening in 1995, everybody will laugh at you, right? That's like, that could never happen. Sure. So anyway, the thing about the goddess religion is very simple. There's nothing on it, very little online, by the way. You're going to have to dig into a time where people were a little more contemplative and looking for alternatives to this Judeo-Christian whatever thing that has screwed up mankind, right? To a point where, you know, it's been allowed to do so, let's say. But let me just go over the goddess religion in a nutshell, just like I explained, let's say, the scriptures in 30 words or less. It's very simple. Yes. Mm-hmm. All of the traditions and religions teach that a male god created mankind and everything. To counter that, this goddess religion teaches that, that's okay. Yeah, that happened. But actually, before you were created as you were now, you were actually reworked. You were all asexual or hermaphroditic. You were neither male or woman, or you were man or woman. You were both. So in order for mankind to go back into a godlike condition, male and male union needs to be promoted. And the males, when they unite, become effeminate and sterile. Female and female unions need to be promoted, and they maintain their sterility and perhaps adapt some masculinity, and they procreate without men. And then the product of that will be a godlike society. And this was adopted during the New Age that happened in the 1890s, the New Age movement, you know, with the sun and all this stuff, you know, the Statue of Liberty, all this stuff. You see that coming forward. And that's why the legal society, the scientific society, the medical society, the political society are all behind this also.
Okay. But here's an interesting part of this that I've never heard put into context correctly, because I have often been confronted with the four-legged right? Both male and female sexual components together, the four-legged, four-armed, two-headed being that, you know, the concept of it being split at one point, legendarily and all of that. It seems to me as though, why would you seek to put two halves of the same half together? You know what I mean? Like the male and male and the female and female, it just doesn't seem to follow a logic to me.
Well,
I would think
that's
you would seek a reunification. But I'm just speaking, you know, in terms of what I'm observing.
Well,
it would seem to me as though the more godly sort of, you know, even in that facility, the more godly presentation would involve both the masculine and the feminine being reunited into maybe there was a combination. Or maybe there is a combination, but why would you combine the male and male and female and female?
Well, here's the thing. I think now this is broaching on what I call philosophy, because I'm just reporting what I've discovered on studies that is not being discussed anywhere. And it's in other words, if you found this out later, you might feel like you were deprived. So now no one can say they were deprived because the Greek is speaking on it, right? And file it away until this information becomes more accessible. Now the thing about male and female, hot and cold, positive and negative, and all this other stuff, what does it denote? Dynamicism. If once you bring similar poles together, they go static, right? So this is a level of understanding that requires a maturity that was occulted and then went away because the human species has been dumbed up so much and downgraded. Very much so. And if you don't believe that humanity has been downgraded from a genetic point of view, go look at some 1930s films in black and white and look at how the people looked and look at how the people look today. You could see a very, you know, anyone who breeds animals can see, you know, if you're a cattle rancher, you know, you could look at cows, photographs from cows from the 1920s and 30s and look at photographs of cows now. You'll say, well, this is not the same specimen, very similar. You see, they've been very severely downgraded. And you could one key for this is not phrenological, but it can be. Look at people's ears, how small they are these days. The ear represents all of the internal organs. And the worst thing is when you listen to them when they open their mouth. But anyway, either way, the making a report on things is important. Whether people take it well or not, that's up to who is giving the report, whether it's out of context or not. And the context right now is all out of context because you're in the credits part of your society. Nothing will make sense, but everyone will take it lying down just like you do in a waiting room. You're in the waiting room. That's another concept. And you're also, the cosmic censorship is still very, very thick. But you think of, you know, no matter how heavy or thick a curtain is, Chuck, it's a curtain. You can walk right up to the curtain and look to the side and pull it back a little and see everything on the other side, can't you? Right? But until you get up off your seat and do that, you're not seeing through that curtain, and that's the cosmic censorship. And I think I gave the reason why. It's because the reason why people are censored is you need to keep them all in a pretty neat, tidy little package on the earth, right? So, I mean, you've heard of instances in ancient writs, no matter where you look, of people with high technological advancement and abilities in the past, right? Space travel, flight, all this stuff in ancient times, right? So, anyway, what the beautiful part about speaking publicly is when you have the information that no one else is speaking of, you don't really have to make a big effort on evolving it and getting too much more detail, because it's just bringing up the concept sometimes is just so far out there that it's esoteric on its face. You know, like the goddess religion or the coming Middle East Union. There is no discussion on that at all. And by the way, I just want to interject. This is kind of a private thing. I'll just shoot it out there. Been in touch with a particular group recently that you would be considered. I'm not going to mention their name. They're power brokers, pretty big. Let's say there are two groups, and they have members that control the world. You've heard of that. How many times have you said they control the world?
This is something you made reference to me with privately, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned their name, and the last part is commission, right?
Gotcha.
And you hear them, people, oh, they're going to ruin the world with this and that. All this, look at this member here. These people are idiots. They're morons. They have the IQ of a doorknob. They have the appearance of being smart. I'm telling
you. That's always fascinated me too. And look, I'm not necessarily up to the same educational level as you are in a lot of areas, but I have always found it extremely remarkable the absolute lack of intellectual strength that seems to be among these individuals who are grouped together that are supposed to be ruling things. When you actually deal with them personally, you find that they belong in the room in the room in your schoolhouse that has the rug, okay? You know, because this is what they need to play on. I mean, they really do not. I'm trying to be a little bit funny here, but not really.
They don't. That's proof of what we've been discussing. It's all external input. You know, the concept of fate is in ancient Greek mythology and all that. There were various goddesses and all that that controlled that, and you couldn't get around it. You know, the kismet and all this other stuff and various other societies or karma and all that. There's so much evidence that it's kind of like when you approach a computer, and you grab the cursor and move it around and do things. Yeah, you need to interact with the computer, but it's already all there. You see, you know what I mean? You might, even when you download something, it's already there from somewhere else. So this is all being controlled by the gods. And the thing is, very rarely do I run into people that say, Greek, I disagree with you or whatever. This is not what, fortunately, I try to avoid the public at large or the public mentality at large, because just giving reports on what is going on. We've discussed, how it's all external input, right? And by the way, if you hear a lot of the Greek speak or a lot of the salient points that are brought up and you apply them, they all work. I've tested them. Like, for example, dreams, dreams, people, they're not your own. You're being plugged by a spiritual entity, but they do it in such a way that you don't know that they're doing it, right? Just like if you're a computer and someone puts in a USB drive, you're like, oh, I got a USB, I got a new file coming in, So people are starting to take on this concept, or have been taking on things for granted. Right. Like, people take walking for granted because once you learn how to do it or ride a bike or whatever, you don't think about it anymore, even though it's not an involuntary action like breathing or your heartbeat. Walking and how about walking and chewing gum? Now, that's a feat. But anyway, but walking, riding a bike and things like that, you have to learn those things. And once you do, you no longer think about it, do you?
No, so. I understand that, but I actually kind of object to this whole idea of everything is external input, and I'll tell you why. There are intuitive facilities that are built into, even when you're talking about the computer, right? It has to have an operating system, and we understand that, but the operating system in and of itself is an expression. It's learned. But a lot of it is on board when you come in. There is an operating system. Well, then where is the facility is not conjured out of nothing for you to be able to take in the external input? So, even if you just recognize it as a manner of storage of knowledge, you have to say that there is some relative organization to it. There is something which is pre-programmed in there in order for you to be able to collect knowledge. Otherwise, look, what's the difference between you and a rock? And
The computer metaphor is good because it's like a cloud. You're networked. How's that?
Well, okay, you're networked, but you see, you can't network a toaster. Well, you might be able to network a chip in the toaster.
Well, let's be more specific. Let's be more specific. Space heaters. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Most space heaters are not easily tied to your computer. They're just not. Okay.
They give the appearance. Again, this is – hold on. Let me just interject one thing here. I know where you're going, but I don't know. And let me just vocalize it. There's the mechanistic approach of science, which is show me. Let's open it up and see what makes it tick. You're not going to find anything in the human body because when neurons are firing and all that, they can't find where memory is stored. They just know if they damage this, there's no memory, right? There's nowhere in the body or the brain or anything that they find memory or anything. I'm not talking about the actual part of the brain being removed like a lobotomy. I'm talking about the actual function. They can't see it, even in their best equipment and all their sciences. And if you go back to the previous societies, for example, the Egyptians, when they mummified bodies, they threw the brain away. It had no value. right? It's just an antenna. It's just like when you take the antenna off of a car, because you don't need the brain to animate the body. And if you haven't been in public lately, that's perfect proof of it. But or anyway,
I understand. But you know what I think the solution is here? The key missing element is literally one of the ancient elements. Water is actually the key, because water appears to have memory all on its own and is completely misunderstood. And being that you have plenty of water in your body, isn't that the answer?
No, it's not. It's like saying, you know, if you have a DVD player or a computer with no hard drive or network, does it not necessarily? That would be like a blank recording or a magnetic tape that's blank. It's not. No, you can't. The water has the ability to hold memory, but it does it in a super sensitive way. We've never really discussed counter space and super sensitivity. But in the future on solo events, I'm going to get into that specifically, and I'll also illustrate a location in the sky, in the heavens, when you go out at night and look up. I'll show you where to look, where all of this stuff is streaming in from. And the last thing you want to do is where for example, if you want to tap into something, like in the old telephone days, you went up to the wire and you put a tap on it, right? I've seen that. You know, if you go to a large apartment building back in the 70s or 80s, you could see them in the basement, you know?
Yeah, alligator clips and all this kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that little module, right? Or if you want to do it with radio, you just have to know the frequency.
Correct. Right?
So, you know, there's a whole level of discussion where if you know that your thoughts and my thoughts, for example, are being done somewhere else, why do we have to call the phone or whatever and talk to each other? Why don't we just send a signal to the network so it sends a signal to you? And you get it 100%. You can experiment with this. It works. But you don't want to start messing with that, because remember, you're not supposed to play with matches. It doesn't matter if you're a competent boy, if you got the Cub Scout badge that you could. It's frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So you have to know your restrictions based on your maturity. These things will be discussed. But here's the other aspect of all this, Chuck. And I like hearkening back to things we've discussed. How much of what we've discussed or what can be discussed along this line of thinking, because you notice when we have a discussion or a Greek speak, there's a mindset. Sometimes it's what you think it is, but usually it's not why, because I like to go down to what things are based on, not what everybody believes they are. And sometimes it seems to be true, but most of the stuff is not true. And it's not because I say so, it's because anyone can objectify it. But do you think, let's just, in context now, which is also the setting, do you think right now, the day, let's say, you know, on the Pope's work schedule, it's what, August 4th, 2017, or it's around the 29th day of the fifth month of 6019 since Adam, let's say, do you think right now is the time for this? No. Definitely not.
No, and here's an observation that also I cannot argue with you on at all, and that is that the species, whatever it is you want to describe men and women as collectively, quite honestly, is so immature and so dangerous to itself and to anything else it comes in contact with that it's wholly ridiculous. I would love to see a world where we don't have the prerequisite thing built in, where war is an inevitability. We have a need to dominate one another and destroy one another. Scarcity is utilized as a weapon. All of these things are the signs of an immature species. I'm sorry, they just are. And I say, you know, when we get mature enough, this will not even be an issue.
But here's the thing. Let me just interject one thing, Chuck. You know, but those things you mentioned are what's happening in reality and practically. You know, that's what you're going to encounter on this planet. But people also are aware of the opposite, like you mentioned, you know, or maybe let's mention it. There's peace, abundance. Let's use the proper word love, which means to do the right thing when you don't feel like it. That's what love really means, by the way. Look it up. Okay. And all these things that could make, let's say, a quote unquote perfect society, people can cognitively imagine those things. Now, if the society were rendered neutralized violently, which is the only way you're going to get change on a global level, by the way, now as it is, you'll have all these sniveling humans saying, but we didn't have a chance to stop all wars. We didn't have a chance to get rid of the attorneys and the doctors and the professors and build a real legal system and a real medical system and a real education. We didn't have the chance. The gods don't want to hear any sniveling bullshit like that from people. So what they are doing right now, they are setting you up from this time period, I think we discussed 2 years ago when we first did the Ocelli thing, around 2017 is the end of this period. 2018 starts a new 7-year period, right? I think you remember discussing that. We're near that. Right. So around 2018, the fall is going to be the precursor with another 7 years of setting you up for a perfect society, which will be in place in the mid-2020s. And that when that perfect society comes into play, you know, let's just leave that leave a general term there. The people will be promised that it will last 1,000 years, and they're all going to believe it. And when their glitches start to form a few years after that, the high command on the planet, the various international leaders are going to make some very unreasonable requests. They sound unreasonable now, but then they're going to sound very reasonable, and people are going to follow through with them. And that's how you're going to eliminate 1/3 of the Earth's population. The other 2/3, minus 10%, are going to be eliminated by natural kill shots, asteroids, solar event, things like that. But even when these things are happening, because remember, the only way to change things in mass as it is right now is through a violent destruction. Sorry, I'm not making this up, and I don't wish it, but sorry, I'm just reporting. It's just like someone, if their engine runs out of completely, if you got a hole in the radiator, no engine oil, your engine's going to burn up in 5 miles or less. Oh, you're so negative. Well, I'm sorry. That's the way it's designed, right? But yeah, this is what's coming, you see. So here's the interesting part. You want to hear, you've heard of irony and tragedy and all that. You'll probably be around. By the mid-2020s or prior to that, when you start hearing a lot of talk about how we're going into a perfect society, that's your cue for you only got a few more years left. That's a perfect time to prep, by the way, right? Because when everyone is saying we're going to perfect society, it's really easy to gather. So, hey, can I borrow your car? Can I borrow like 50 pounds? Well, sure, man, we're in a perfect society. Here you go. Thanks. Why are you preparing to get away from us? Oh, I'm just going on a little vacation. See, the time to prepare is not when everyone's in a panic or rumors of wars and rumors of strife. The time to prepare is when they all think it's perfect, you see. So anyway, this is coming. I'll be giving more details on that. And you, this time period will not come into fruition until you have a Middle East Union, until you have this new country. One of the clocks, by the way, is a new country called Assyria, or the new Assyria evolving out of Iraq. That's why, you know, for example, we use that wind-up toy called the clock, because it's a good way to communicate certain things. Like, hey, Chuck, we're going to do this sonic event, you know, at 8 Eastern, right, on the date on the Pope's work schedule. We all arrived, right?
Right, which is funny, because I used to begin every one of those shows by saying, you know, something like, based on the digital wind-up toy called the clock, or the digital representation thereof. Sorry.
That's right.
Because most people don't use the wind-up toy anymore, but it's a representation of something else, right, which is a toy anyway. Go ahead.
And amongst the Judeo-Christian ethic, you'll hear, who are they called, the chosen people and all that. They just like making stuff up. If you actually look at what's been memorialized about the quote-unquote chosen people, why are they the chosen people? Because they are the people to watch. When these things happen to them, then this next thing will happen to the world. And when these things happen to them, they're just a clock. As a matter of fact, I think I stated earlier, what a better way to hide stuff by making a certain group of people the oracles of certain writs and making them totally unlikable to hide it. Perfect. Right? Think about it. You know, like, give you an example. Years ago, we had to do an all-cash transaction. It was 6 figures cash, right? And well, we needed someone to hold the money, and people knew that we had it, and so we had a homeless guy hold it, because no one's going to mug a homeless guy for $100,000, right?
Generally, nobody would be digging up that yard or barking up that tree. No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because in certain construction equipment and all that stuff, you know, they, back in the days, they wanted cash, you know? So I was like, all right, so whatever. So you see, what a better way to hide, right, anything, by giving it to the most unlikely people that people will consider that's where they need to go. So, I mean, this is just, and it's so obvious. It's so flippin' obvious. Why? Because you can count on people not being objective, right, through tradition and culture. I was on a radio recently with someone, and I said, look, you know, all these things about discussing solutions in society, that's all very good. But you have to also consider the culture, tradition, race, and religion of that society, whether they're going to accept the truth or not. How far does the truth deviate from what their accepted culture, tradition, and all that other religious stuff is, you know, from what you see. And if it's, if the truth is very deviant or very far off from what they're used to doing, they're not going to accept it. You see?
Yeah, so you can find that in various degrees, no matter what you're doing. If you speak against the general conventions that are held by a group of people, you're going to get some serious resistance. I mean, it's that simple.
You don't even have to speak against it. You could provide the solution that they're always complaining about the problem. And what they will do is they will compare that solution with their traditions and cultures. You don't have to complain. Yeah, they will compare it. And they'll say, no, this goes against what we've been, you see. You don't have to complain at all. I'm not complaining. Like, for example, if you look at the leadership of any country, we're in what's called the United States of America. Look at the leadership. And I look at sometimes the stuff that's being posted and say, of course, this makes total sense. Because all I have to do is go walk down the street to, you know, where the commerce is going on and talk to the people. This leader is perfect for them. Yeah, so was the one before, you know? So.
Yeah, and that's why I make the point all the time. I'm not happy about this, but it makes total sense what's happening.
Yeah.
Regarding this ridiculous, you know, Trump. That's where I'm at with it. Is it makes total sense, but I'm not pleased. How about that?
You know? Oh no. Well, look. People used to ask me even years ago when JW whatever Jr. was in, who's the next president? I said, I don't know, but whoever it is going to be worse than this one. And this last one, they said, well, who is going to be the next president? Greek is like, well, I don't know, but I'll tell you exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be worse for the country than this one. Yeah. And the next one's going to be worse than Trump, for sure. You could take that to the bank. Now, you might have the illusion that things are going well and for certain whatever, but this has nothing to do, by the way, with anything negative. You know, there's still some talk about destruction coming to America, calamity, collapse and all that. That's not going to happen, folks, because prophetically, all of the nations in the world support this Middle Eastern Union materially, morally and ethically and however else. How is the U.S., which is an economic superpower still because it has the largest market, support a Middle East Union if it's in economic collapse? It can't, so it won't be, you see. This is just a dummy load, and the dummy load goes on and on and on. So the thing that's frustrating, I'll say personally for me, is like you have so much access, instant communication, whatever now and all that, and none of this is being discussed all in one place. It's so simple.
Well, you know, here's a counter proposal, though. The United States is not necessary. In the grand equation here, because if the whole of the rest of the world goes in one direction and the United States goes in another, it's really not that big a deal. Quite honestly, we can be marginalized and put on the sideline very quickly, despite the fact that, you know, we're the most prolific military power on the planet and all that. That can be dissolved rather quickly.
Well, you spend the most on military, but you're one of the worst militaries in history. You've never won a war. And I don't want to get into that, but how could you lose Vietnam and say you won Japan? You didn't win Japan at all. That war didn't end until the mid-50s. Anyway, there's a couple of people discussing that, but of course it doesn't matter. It's not time yet. But it's the worst, losingest military in history, really. If you look at the amount that's been put into it, it's just a scam. And it's based on the physicists and the scientists also that support that.
Please, nobody wants to hear from me that the Korean War never actually ended either. But
no, it's still going on. There's just an armistice. It's just cessation of hostilities in the field. It's still going on. And, you know, the United States is banned from declaring war ever again. That's why they never declared war. And here's the thing, Chuck, it's very simple. People like to discuss the United States of America as a nation or a country. It's not, really. Sorry. It's a spillover from all other places in the world. Just like when you have a dam or a river, it spills over. You know, if you go to Italy or Spain or Portugal, you know, the guy down the street, your neighbor, he's also Portuguese or Italian or, you know, pretty much. When you're in America, you know, you got a guy in Afghanistan from here, a guy from Italy there, a guy from Portugal there. Which one are you? Are they all American? No, I don't think so. You know, this is a political marketplace. America is a store that no one leaves. You just happen to sleep there. Imagine a big department store. Instead of going home, right, you stay there. It's a big store. It's always known as the spillover, and it's the commercial trade epicenter when it comes to volume. And you know that when you get into big industry, volume is everything, right? So this is how you define the country here. And by the way, it's been evil from the start. This is not, yes, there is good and evil. If you start looking at the real history of the people that were here, how they were displaced, do you know that there is what was it, 1813, 1817 Native Removal Act? in law?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. All these other things. All right. Where's the, you know, so, you know, all of this stuff that it's not, look, it's not any, is more evil than Greece or Germany, Iraq or Russia. Or that, no, I wouldn't say, but it's got the more variety of evil than all those other countries. You see, it's just a big spillover. Get over it. It's fine. You know, and the irony of it being such a spillover for the rest of the world, it actually has, you know, the ability, you know, the breadbasket of the world. Right. Right. You know, in the 1940s, 98% of the world's oil was provided by America. That's not Middle East or anything. You could look this up. Up until 1945, 98%, not, you know, almost 100%, right? So it's really, really ironic. And here's one thing that you could say. This society is a society that had everything and decided to throw everything away. That's another way to explain it.
Mm. Well, you know, we're coming down to the last 10 minutes or less here, and it is fascinating to me that that you would even understand that the American construct is more like the Walmart of evil, because you got a little bit of everything in that store. It really comes down to that. You may have particular brands in other locations on the planet, but it has come down to this, and I think it does begin at the very root of the creation of this construct. Once again, I keep calling it a construct because it's exactly what it is. It was constructed, you know, from various parts that were gathered together, and you know, that's the reality of it.
And it's a secret how the whole thing happened. You know, really, the Jesuits came over here and they communicated with the people that were here, and they took command of their entities, of their gods. The Jesuits did. I know this is not discussed. And once the Jesuits took control of the gods that they had, if you understand Native American, let's call it folklore, but it's really history, when they did war and they knew they were being invaded by a tribe, they just sent a shaman up to the hill. He raised his arms and everybody dropped dead. People didn't fight like they show on the movie. I mean, this is, how come this isn't being discussed, even by them? Because he was able to summon a god to do the battle for him. Don't we read somewhere in the biblical text that certain group of people were able to summon a certain god, send angels to fight the Assyrians and kill them all in their sleep? Come on, guys. Yeah. So what they did was they gave up the power to this, and this is how it went on. And Jesuits, of course, went back, and now they're just into having gay orgies or whatever with cocaine. I think that's all they're into now these days. But anyway.
Well, isn't everybody? You know, it seems like everywhere you go, there's my salacious comment for the night. Isn't everybody just into gay orgies and cocaine?
There you go. That's so lascivious. It's more salacious. Yeah. So anyway, how do you think we did for tonight, Chuck? So far, okay.
Well, you know, I got to say that it's always an interesting trek through reality, to be honest with you, because again, you know, I mean, I've got minor different understandings of certain things when it comes to what you talk about, but quite honestly, I cannot argue with you most of the time. And when we used to do this as a entity together, my role was a little more relaxed, and people didn't understand that I was really there to corral what was happening. It's been a really fascinating thing to do this with you. And, you know, despite the fact that, okay, now here's one of the things that somebody asked me to bring up. The cult leader thing that has been discussed with me off, you know, privately, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing. The Greek is missing a couple of key elements to being a cult leader. He has not declared himself God, therefore he cannot be a cult leader. And although he does seem to have some specialized information and all of that, it is fascinating, though, to see how it is some people do internalize what it is you say. Okay. I have a story
for that, by the way, a quick story, if you want me to interject.
Oh, absolutely.
Years ago on another radio station, someone was also partnering up, and they wanted me to come and discuss a few things that they brought up as a problem. And the person told me, well, Greek, they're not going to listen to you anyway. I said, why? He says, because you don't have a following. And I'm like, listen, all right, I don't have a following? Great. What I'm going to do, I want you to give me your contact information. You're going to get a package in the mail. It's going to be three things. One is going to be a piece of paper, the address of where I sleep. Mm-hmm. The other thing that item that's going to be in the package is an envelope with a whole bunch of cash for travel expenses to where I sleep. And the next thing is going to be a 9mm pistol. And he says, what am I supposed to do with that? I said, well, you're going to come to where I live and use the money as expenses, and you're going to shoot me in the head while I'm sleeping if I discover I have a following.
Well, it does appear as though people do follow you a bit. I hope that you're still not making that offer.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Maybe that's why there hasn't been a sonic event, because what I'm expecting for people to do is take 2,500 years worth of poignant information, chew on it. That's what meditation means, to ruminate, and ask some good questions. And I have a few people asking some proper questions. And I'm just sitting back taking time because, believe it or not, well, you know, I don't have to say believe it or not. You know, Chuck, even though you do 2 hours of audio every day, even if you did it once a week, it takes a lot of your, let's say, mental or spiritual energy to do that.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, you know, if I'm going to do another solo event or something like that, and I'm just going to, you know, why start putting it? I think it's just too much at this point, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I think it should happen, but it's next level stuff. It's really next level stuff. So,
well, and I'll tell you the truth, I'm looking forward to it. But I was actually trying to defend you there, just in case you don't realize it.
That oh, that's fine. I appreciate it. Yep.
You don't meet the legitimate criteria for being a cult leader, although that you do have a following. Now I've got to grant that part of it, but I would say you do not meet the legitimate criteria for being a cult leader. So
No. I've got the Kevlar underwear to defend me. Right. So anyway,
that too.
Yeah.
So
anyway, you see, that's how it goes. Yeah. Anyway, this has been pretty good for a sonic event so far. I'd say we'll do it again, perhaps if time and anything else permits. And again, the uncommonradio.com is the place for the Greek speak, whatever. And there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. That is where you'll be able to find out about the next sonic event. Of course, there are various ways to get a hold of the archives of Ocellian the Greek, Uncommon Radio in the past with Seth, who, you know, that was another incarnation of this. You have a couple of solo sonic events that you participated in. And, you know, there was even Vinnie Eastwood at one point used to have you on occasionally. So you can find
I even hosted... Mm-hmm. I did a guest host on that. I had Trevor James Constable, my former mentor, because he passed away last year, as the guest on that. And I've not able to locate that archive. I might have it on an old hard drive somewhere. But yeah, it's again, Chuck, you know, the purpose of speaking is, like I've said, is because no one else is saying it. And you just want to sit back and say, like, what is wrong with you people? Come on, someone's got to say something. I mean, even just lawful timekeeping and, oh, boy. I mean, isn't it amazing how many people have not noticed that the Pope's work schedule, the calendar, is a prank? You can't keep time with it. You notice you celebrate a day every year, comes a different day of the week every year. No one's making any. Anyway, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you have to slide it over at least by one day, depending on which year it is.
Oh, yeah. Last year it was 3 days. Last year, some of them were 3 days. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a cosmic joke. I think right now everyone is about a week behind. And you want to hear an even better cosmic joke? Last year, there were 396 or 397 days, and no one even noticed. They just said, it's 36, and no one noticed.
There's that extra month that we talked about at one point during one of those discussions. And because no one is utilizing anything which is easily observable, they're going with the conventions. And you know what conventions do? They create conventions. And
they're going to get the convention. They're going to get what they wish for, a perfect society. They'll get it all right. They don't realize that they're being set up. So,
well,
anyway,
you know what they say about saving the best for last and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Greek, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. That's for sure. And also, I do feel, well, obligated to thank everybody who did contribute that you directed to do so over to me. You guys are extremely helpful. I always feel the need to show gratitude for that.
Thank you.
And I do appreciate it, not only to you, but to the people who decided to take your direction and do so. I appreciate it very much. And we'll put this out later as a podcast. Probably tomorrow it'll go out there into the usual facilities and be available at Ocelli.com at the very least. So, again, yeah, we'll revisit this anytime you like, sir. So I give you the final word in the final couple seconds here.
Oh, that's about it. Like Bugs Bunny says, that's all, folks. Until the next time. Thanks, Chuck.
There you go. The Ocelli Effect is done for a Friar's Day, right? Because it is Friar's Day, according to the Pope's work schedule. But, Greek, before I'm absolutely done, what is the real day?
It's around the 29th day of the fifth month till noon.
And that's what it is at the moment. And you can keep track from there if you like. And if not, well, continue being frank. The Ocelli Effect is done. And I hope that no matter who you are or where you are, things are well and so are you.